Well, hello there. It's Ed Said, the podcast that follows the show Ed Says weekdays here on The Talk of Connecticut. It's kind of where I review what happened during the day or whatever else crosses my mind, plus give you the best bits from the day's show. On this podcast, I will cover our talk with Lise Wheel, plus the problems with higher education and all these safe places we seem to be creating for students right now. I touched on playing in fantasy football, and my fantasy draft is tonight, and I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no clue. I'm going to open my fantasy app right now. I haven't even scouted anybody. Again, I've taken over a decade off from playing fantasy, and really, this is just something to do. Honestly, it's a good way to talk trash with your pals and gives me an excuse to have another app on my phone, but I have not been paying close enough attention to it. I'll be the first to admit, and everybody likes sports. Don't think of this as sport talk radio. I'm probably like the majority of you. We like sports in passing. I used to be a lot more passionate about it, but then all my teams are terrible, so I kind of grew out of it. Plus, I stopped wanting to give them money and more of it as they continue to raise prices on concessions and tickets and make it impossible for somebody like you or me to bring their family to a game without, you know, taking out a second mortgage. I'll just take the events for free on TV. But this is a good way to spend time, and no money will change hands. None whatsoever. Not that I have to worry about it, because I am not going to win anything. My hope is by taking this hands-off approach and not having paid attention to it for all this time and not knowing who's good and who's not, that I will just fall ass backwards into a win and snag grabbing rights. Again, no money from my friends also taking part in the fantasy football league, because that would be the best. Because I am that type of person when competing with someone who puts in a lot of effort and maybe overdoes it, and I come out victorious by phoning it in. There is no better feeling than rubbing that in their face. Call it, maybe I'm a small person, I don't know, but there's nothing more enjoyable than just throwing it in their face that you did squat to prepare and yet you still won. It's probably infuriating for the person on the other end, and that's part of the fun of having friends, so you can bust their chops. Speaking of which, I started watching Oz last night, which is a decades-old show that I should have been watching. It's long been over, but you know what? I needed something to watch. I missed it the first time around, and I was going to tweet about it at EdSaysCT. I didn't because I knew my buddy would ruin it, so I put out a vague tweet saying that I was doing this, watching a show, and knew he would try to ruin it, and he attempted by ruining other shows. But that's what friends are for. I knew he would attempt to ruin it. I know he's not going to listen to this podcast, so I don't have to worry about him finding out what I'm watching. First episode, one episode in. It was. It's obviously good. Like, I'm not the first to say it's good. We'll see where it goes. But I'm in desperate need of something to watch. So if you have suggestions, tweet at me at Ed Says CT. Of course, I've been through Stranger Things, The Night of, Making a Murderer. I really need to get through the last season of House of Cards. I guess I just kind of fallen off on that. The shine is gone, I guess. It's not brand new and hot. It's looking a little haggard. I don't know. I watched that with the wife, and she's not a reliable TV partner. She prefers things in like 20 to 30 minute snippets. And when things get a little too gruesome, it tends to push her away. Mostly sunny, happy things is what she likes. Whereas I like the darker side of people, the terrible, awful, no good side. I watched Daredevil. I still have some episodes of Arrow, but apparently that turns into a real CW show with romance. I don't know. I'm looking for stuff to watch, so I had to go all the way back to Oz. And if you can believe it, I also missed The Wire. It's another thing I need to watch. It's got to be a balance. Too much news and not enough entertainment makes Ed a dull boy. So that's where I am entertainment-wise. Tonight it's fantasy football and watching episode 2 of Oz. Otherwise, it's all teaching the kid to pee in the potty and stop hiding from us when he needs to poop. Oh, that's a real thing. Yeah, working on potty training. And rather than telling us he needs to do number 2, he decides to run away, hide, and then tell us that he did it. So it's going swimmingly. Hopefully this podcast goes better than the potty training. Here you go. Lise Wheel and talk about the top legal stories with her and the sad state of higher education in the United States of America. Enjoy.
Joining us now is Lise Wheel, Fox News' legal analyst. Good morning, Lise. How are you?
Good morning. Doing just great.
So I was talking about fantasy sports betting and Danny Mathers, but the one I really, really want to get into it with you on is this Rutgers speech code. Can you break down what is happening with this bias prevention education team?
Well, it's really hard to, but I will try. Rutgers and a couple other places, like University of Nebraska and a few other universities, have said, and it's perfect for this week, but everybody's going back to school. It's as simple as a nice code. Like, if you don't have anything nice to say, or if you don't have anything that's going to sort of further the discussion, then just don't say anything. And if you do, that say something that's deemed to be not nice, like how you define that, I don't know, then you will be reported anonymously to this group, this inside organization that will bring you in for reprogramming, it sounds like to me. I mean, I don't really know how else to say it. Where you will be reprogrammed. And it just sounds horrible. Horrible, horrible. And it sounds completely illegal to me. And I think it will be found to be illegal because I'm sure there's going to be an organization like the ACLU or something like that that will be on this lickety-split. And it will be tossed out. But right now, it's on the books.
Well, so one of the things that bothers me is that it is anonymous. Anything that is anonymous is not good. Because I could have a vendetta against someone and go, well, they said something I didn't like, and it might not be factual.
Well, that's right. And it's, well, you know, the thing is that this organization, this internal organization, will pretend to do an investigation, which will save you from that. But then to kind of reprogram you almost, I mean, that.
Right. The bias prevention education team, 60 to 90 minute workshops for re-education, which, again.
Yeah, re-education, reprogramming, whatever. It just smacks of something, you know, back in our history, which is not a potentially very good time in our history.
Now, would this be acceptable on a private school's campus as opposed to a public?
I guess the argument would be on a private school campus. Look, you signed up for this. You're paying. We're not getting state money or federal money. We can do what you want. You know, there's a better argument there, but I would still say that, you know, students don't. They don't lose their constitutional rights when they go on to a university. They don't lose their rights to free amendment and free expression, First Amendment free expression. I don't think this passes muster even on the private arena. I really don't. But I wanted to bring to your attention, your listeners' attention, because it's happening out there. And Rutgers is not, you know, some, you know, horrible place, or it's a university with a very good reputation.
Yeah, it's not some rinky-dink school like where I went,
no,
Virginia Commonwealth University.
Not at all. Not at all. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, and it blows my mind that, and you brought this to my attention with the email that we're going to talk about it, and then I'm going to be spending another whole segment on it because it's spreading to other campuses, and this idea that you can't be challenged negatively. It seems to be the antithesis of what a university is supposed to be.
Well, that's right. And the thing is, you know, bring it even further than the university. If we're not challenged at the university level, then we get out and we get into the business, you know, the business level. And wait a second, where are our ideas going to come from? If we're scared to get into a management position or a, you know, entry-level position, and we're scared to even put out an idea out there, then we're going to be a bunch of Stepford husbands and wives and just not say anything, and we're not going to be innovative anymore, and therefore, you know, ideas won't come forth. I mean, just it's a really kind of scary societal trend. And I know that sounds like I'm, oh my gosh, you know, crying wolf, but I don't really think I am.
No, I think it's dangerous. And real quick, let's talk for all the degenerates out there, fantasy sports betting. What's happening? Can I do it? Can I not do it?
You are in a legal vacuum, and I'm quoting somebody out there in Illinois who is a representative, a Democrat, trying to pass legislation saying that is legal. Because right now, as he says, it's in a legal vacuum. If the police come to you and you're playing this and say, we're going to take a review and arrest you, your best defense is to say, this is not gambling. I'm using skills. I am not just pulling a slot machine down to get my, you know, the dollars up from my quarters. I'm using skills. I'm picking my draft. I'm deciding what's going to happen to them. You know, this is, I'm using my brain power here versus just going to Vegas and, like I said, putting my dimes or quarters and hoping to get money out when I, you know, pull down the slots. I tend to agree with that. I tend to agree that there's a lot more than just luck going on there.
Oh, yeah, fantasy football is a full-time
job.
Right
now, it's a legal vortex.
Yeah, some people treat it like it's the only thing they have going, neglecting their families and their jobs.
Really?
I mean, to an extent. There are people who take it super seriously and are in multiple leagues. But then I would argue, where does online poker fall in that?
Yeah, I don't know. But this draft football stuff, though, I guess I tend to side with the skill people because they... Aren't they, like, taking time, like, picking them and
there's
going to be in the game?
That's just an excuse to eat nachos and drink beer, in my case, at least. but, yeah, there's, I mean, there's, they do tons of research about who's, I mean, it's all speculative and what have you. But we allow that on the stock market, so why wouldn't we allow it for fantasy sports?
Yeah, there, exactly. And we pay people, stockbrokers, lots of money to invest our money for us. And that in a way, is gambling, right? Oh, We're all kind of gamblers.
It certainly is. It's the biggest gamble.
It's the biggest gambler for all our 401ks, and people get paid a lot of money to gamble for us.
No, now I'm just depressed because I'm hoping...
Me too. Come on. It's going to be a happy, sunny day.
Elise Wiehl, Fox News legal analyst. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Have a great week.
All right. You be well, my friend.
We just talked to Fox News legal analyst Elise Wiehl about this policy at Rutgers, the speech code. Where students are being said that they're told that they should only speak when it's helpful and necessary and only if what they say is nice. Otherwise, they could be reported anonymously to the bias prevention education team. Is this real life? Is this a thing? Like, it makes no sense to me. The idea that college is now, you know, these safe places and this ridiculous amount of protectionism, I guess. I don't get it. College, you're supposed to be challenged on everything you know or think. Be exposed to differing ideas. That's what life is. If you want, I just don't get it. Let's see, this is valuewalk.com headline. Rutgers speech code says speak only when necessary as you get into the body. The new campaign says it's not surprising here, unlike many other universities. Rutgers has no code or statement of student rights guaranteeing students any rights related to free speech or other commonly accepted aspects of academic freedom. As Lee said, this will probably be challenged and we'll probably lose, and we can only hope so. I get it. I understand that people shouldn't be rude. People shouldn't be jerks. But guess what? They exist, and teaching people to not deal with them or to run off and tattle on them anonymously. Plus, an anonymous system is rife for abuse. I could just anonymously pick someone and just say, oh, man, this person said this or did this because I didn't like them. Maybe I'm the bad person, and I'm getting an innocent person into trouble where they'll lose 60 to 90 minutes of their life in some silly re-education camp. I don't understand the... the wording, the code, says anything, quote, likely to cause alarm, end quote, is used in there. No, not really defined. But it could include, according to the new policy, asking a student where they're from or complimenting a student for being strong. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I certainly wouldn't want to pay for my child to attend a school where this happens. This article talks about Harvard, where law professors have been asked to not use the word violated, even in the sense of whether a law was violated, because a victim of sexual assault might become upset. And some professors apparently have stopped teaching rape as part of criminal law because of concerns about such sensitivity. That's just coming from this article, but if that's legit, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry something terrible happened to someone. It's it's awful. The person who perpetrated the crime should be held accountable and punished. But the experiences, bad or good, in your life do not get to determine the meaning or usage of words. It doesn't apply to you. You can't take this whole triggered thing and trigger words and safe places is stupid and overly sensitive. Bad things happen, okay? And you deal with them in your own way, but you can't force those ways upon the world. It's also intent. If somebody uses the word triggered, or I'm sorry, uses the word violated in relation to the law, that doesn't apply to you. Stop applying it to yourself. You were a victim once. Don't victimize yourself again. There's plenty out there to help you. There's plenty of people that want to help you. These professors want to help you. But protecting you from a word is doing no one any favors. 888-574-2723. Ronnie Green is the new chancellor at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. He emailed all the students there a welcome. He said the campus is packed with life, energy, and palpable momentum, and says that the UNL is committed to diversity and inclusion, and asks all members of the university community to be especially mindful of our responsibility to create an environment that is welcoming to all, where each person feels accepted, valued, and safe, which seems nice and all. And then the chancellor informs UNL's new students that UNL has a non-negotiable list of expected beliefs about matters and diversity. Opening paragraph nods to respect, dignity, acceptance, blah, blah, blah. Then bulleted points that say we, all of us, value, strive for, insist on, believe in, share, and do. Let me focus on the first sentence, blah, blah, blah. We believe in the freedom of speech and encourage the expression of ideas and opinions. We do not tolerate words and actions of hate and disrespect. Disrespect is such a word that is overused and dumb. It is dumb because people can say it, oh, you're disrespecting me. Why? Because I disagree with you? It is unbelievable to me that this is higher education. Let's go to Mike in Glastonbury. Good morning, Mike.
Oh, hi, Ed. Good morning.
What's going on?
Oh, hi. Yeah, Ed, I think you might want to enlarge on that Rutgers story a little bit, as well as some of the other campuses. We have to go back about 30 years when there was an organization in a sovereign state in Central Europe, and the state organization had everybody writing reports on everybody else. The organization's name was Stasi. It was a secret state security organization in East Germany. You remember them, the Democratic People's Republic?
Oh, yeah.
Well, have you considered that a lot of the campuses now will be expecting to build, even if the dotted lines on the columns or the building haven't been filled in, certain structures for new students in this changing period of time? And if you have difficult economic times ahead, one of the main economic things going on in a civil society is for people to snitch on one another. Also to go around questioning one another, a kind of a Red Guards idea about, I heard you say such and such, or you looked at something disrespectfully. So I wouldn't put this aside as a complete illogical or excessively bureaucratic, cloud building. I think some of this is trying to hook up with another person on another trapeze. I don't know what that other person is or how they're in on the activity, but, let me put it this way. It reminds me of, I had to steer my basket around a couple of women arguing in the middle of the aisle at a supermarket not too many years ago, and they were both talking to one another at the same time. Each one of them was telling the other about what a great job their child was about to get with the federal government. So in terms of a career path, as school gets more expensive and as society continues with this sort of a combination of legalism and narcissism, I think the colleges are going to embrace the idea of being arbiters, at least in some areas, of foolishness. It encourages them to play the part that they don't want to play the part of in so many words. That is, in loco parentis, playing the part of a parent. Suppose the parent, though, is a half unscrewed adult who is overly ideological. So I don't think the times are changing. I just think they're doubling down.
Well, Mike, I appreciate the call, 888-574-2723. And one thing you said about snitching on someone or what have you, there's a difference between reporting a crime and talking about someone's behaviors and actions. And I think we are encouraged to be too worried about what others are doing. Focus on yourself. We are too thin-skinned, too easily offended. We use the word disrespect too much. And the words from University of Nebraska, we do not tolerate actions of hate and disrespect. And then, according to this article, the university says that there is no such thing as free speech, and then has a code prohibiting anything that was likely to cause alarm, which isn't defined. But they are public universities and are bound by the First Amendment, which protects all free speech, including speech you disagree with or hateful speech. That's allowed. It can... There are ramifications for what you say, but what you say shouldn't be snuffed out because we disagree with it. It's the same with Westboro Baptist Church. It's the same as with Colin Kaepernick, for those of you that disagree with him. You can't snuff it out because you disagree with it. That is the antithesis of everything that makes us the United States of America. And this whole thing, then in California, you've got a university there, California State University, Los Angeles, established housing that is black only, self-segregating. There were people fighting for schools to be non-segregated, and now there's self-segregation. It blows my mind. It doesn't make any sense to me. Life is going to challenge you. You can't continue to live in a bubble. It's going to be hard. If you're of a certain color, maybe a certain gender, maybe a sexual orientation, it's going to be harder for you. It's unfair. But guess what? We fight to make it better, but this isn't the way. There are bigots out there. There are racists out there. There are small-minded people out there that you will have to deal with. Nullifying their voice does nothing. They still exist. It forces them to operate in secret and solidifies their feelings. You are better off addressing someone with hatred in their heart face to face, because I think you have an opportunity to change them. There's someone who hates gays, has been raised that way their entire life, who goes off to college and is suddenly challenged rather than silenced. You have an opportunity to change them, to open their eyes, because they have been covered by their life prior to attending college. But if you silence them, they will just continue to harbor the resentment because you're not carrying on a conversation. And like this black-only housing, it doesn't help anything. You're going to be faced with terrible people no matter what you do. 888-574-2723. Let's go to Josh in Hartford. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
What do you have to say this morning, Josh?
I wanted to say, whatever happened to ignoring the person when somebody says something awful to you? You know, instead, but now I have a little sister who gets triggered, apparently. I don't even know what to do with that. Like, if she hears something that's, you know, against her, like, way of life, she just starts to panic. And it's kind of weird. I don't like that stuff. But I think that's what's happening through the colleges. It's kind of like they're getting even more thin-skinned. That's where I want to go with it.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. Maybe, and it's I don't want to call it a generational thing, because we've all been there. We've all been young. And I remember, you know, being young and angry at the world and wanting to change everything. And sometimes being a grown-up makes you realize that it's not always going to be the way you want. There are going to be disagreements. There are people whose ideas to me are deplorable, but I can't silence them. I can't take away the rights they have as Americans.
Yeah. And what the caller Mike was saying also, when he said, like, oh, actually it was you. He said these are people who are getting really high federal jobs for doing that thing. And honestly, I think that the colleges are going to push this, and they're going to weed out, you know, they're going to weed out the people who are like common are in right mind, you know, people who are not politically correct, but they're going to push for the people who are politically correct, who can push the agenda, and those people are going to get paid heavily, you know, for that. They're going to go into a college that's going to indoctrinate them into a whole new way of thinking, and they're going to, I think they're really going to change the thinking of the world.
Look how
transgenderism is coming in, and like how now we're even talking about men going into girls' bathrooms. It's crazy.
Well, Josh, I appreciate the call. 888-574-2723. When it comes to transgendered bathrooms and all that, I have a simple solution. Unisex bathrooms. Real easy. One shooters across the board. Just use the bathroom. We don't need gendered bathrooms. Do you have them at home? No. You just go into the bathroom. It's easy. I hate a stall. It happened again today. I tweeted about it the other day. 8:30 on the dime is when it happens. I am like clockwork. I went in, picked stall number 3, which means stalls 1 and 5 are open, 5 being the handicapped one. Somebody sits right next to me in 4. Why? Give me my space. If we had one shooters, unisex across the board, we wouldn't have issues with bathrooms. But what you're talking about when it comes to universities is silencing disagreement, and that is not what college is about. It is not supposed to be sanitized. It is supposed to be about opening your brain and your mind and your beliefs and having them challenged and changing as a person. When those kids get out, if this continues, I'd say they're in for a harsh wake-up, but you know what? Eventually, it's going to be their world, and if that's what they want, a sanitized world where everybody walks around quiet with their heads down and their eyes on their phone and they're texting each other, you know what they're going to be texting? They're going to be texting all those things that they can't say out loud. And then you won't be able to identify who the racists, the bigots, and the hateful people are. At least with freedom of speech and letting people say what's on their mind and debating them, you get to identify who the jerks are. If you silence them, you won't know until it's too late.